Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
DanaLash.com. And as we've been discussing, this case, the Baldwin case, with the Rust film set shooting, and there's been another development in this. Yesterday, I was talking to my friend Adam Baldwin, you know him from Firefly and Full Metal Jacket, NBC's Last Ship, and he brought up the question as to whether or not COVID protocol contributed to how weapons were handled on set, whether it altered their standard operating procedure for how production handled weaponry. And apparently, according to Deadline Hollywood, that might be the case. At least one of the documents that they published, they were talking about the rolling card and how things were changed a little bit in terms of who could be on set when and all of that. There's a lot of complexities in this, and we wanted to talk to an actual legal expert who knows a lot more about the legalities of this than we do, because, you know, we watch just Law and Order and we'll pretend to be an attorney. See, that's how it goes. My friend Andrew Branca, he's so generous with his time, and Adam, actually I had him in my mind before, and Adam suggested him. I'm like, that would be perfect. He is an attorney. He specializes in self-defense. He's already written over at the lawofselfdefense.com. He's given some of his analysis about this, saying that the Baldwin situation is beginning to look a lot like manslaughter. And he joins us now via Skype. Andrew, such a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Dana. It's been a while since we talked last. I think before we had President Trump. Let's not wait until we have President DeSantis before we have a chance to get together again.
I agree. I definitely second that. So tell me about this case, because the more details that we're learning about it, It continues. I mean, I don't think really much can get worse from a family losing their mother. And of course, you know, the director being injured, not to diminish that at all. But as the details come out, it really looks like there was a lot of recklessness that was on this set. And from what I understand, a lot of it comes, you know, this is kind of top down. Who is in charge of the film set, the producers, the production, who's heading that up? You know, they sort of set the tone and the level of responsibility. We learned that there were two apparently misfires before in the weeks leading up to this, that the union crew had walked out because they were complaining repeatedly about safety issues on the set. They had to, I know that they had to bring in an armorer, which I feel it's unfair to place the entirety of the blame on that young woman. And that's, I'll talk to you about that as well. But from everything that we've seen, and I'm agreeing with you, I would be kind of shocked right now if there weren't any charges brought against Baldwin in this. What is your take from everything that's publicly available now?
Well, in term of Alec Baldwin's criminal liability here for this shooting, it's not even really a close call. It's a pretty open and shut case of involuntary manslaughter. He was handling an inherently dangerous instrument, a firearm that has well-established rules for its safe use. He violated those rules, pointed the gun at a woman, pressed the trigger, killed her, without bothering to take the moment it would have taken to make sure that the weapon was clear first. And under New Mexico law, but really under the law of just about any state, that's a blanket act of involuntary manslaughter. And I know people are obfuscating a lot around these events, and there were other factors that, you know, if they had gone right, might have prevented this. If we had perhaps a better armorer or better safety, or there were steps before Alec got the gun that might have prevented this. But there's only one person who absolutely, with certainty, could have prevented this. And that's Alec Baldwin. When he had that gun in his hand, before he pointed it at the woman and pressed the trigger, he could have taken a moment to check to make sure there was not live ammo in that gun. And to me, that's the decisive factor, because it doesn't matter what else happened before. If he had checked the gun, the woman would be alive.
And that's what it comes down to. Talking with our friend Andrew Branca, who's a self-defense attorney, he knows this very well, the laws of this. And we're talking, of course, about the Baldwin case and the film set Rust, the shooting that took place just towards the end of last week here. It's an incredibly sad story, and even sadder when you see leading up to this, how it could have been prevented with a simple, they might call it a press check. And as I understand, we were dealing with revolvers. So he could have just flipped that cylinder open and he could have just looked at the chambers in that and seen whether or not, and very easy to look and see, you know, what it was loaded with. If it was loaded, you could see it. And then what it was loaded with, you could see that as well. He's been, Andrew, he's 40 plus year, actor, a film veteran. He's been on sets where they've used firearms before. Surely he's gone through this process where they've had to check this stuff before kind of, you know, pointing it at people and putting your finger on the trigger.
Well, you would think so, but frankly, it doesn't matter, because when you're handling an inherently dangerous instrument like a gun, the law presumes that you've been informed on how to do that safely. And that's because the law is putting the burden on you. And if you choose not to do that, if you're actually ignorant of how to safely operate, and it could be a gun or explosives or dangerous chemicals or heavy equipment, it's all in the same kind of category for legal purposes. But if you're handling a gun, the state will presume that you know how to handle it safely. And if you have not acquired that knowledge, that's absolutely on you. You bear the responsibility for that. It's a strict liability paradigm.
Yes.
So there's no excuses. And by the way, it's not just Alec Baldwin. It's any of us. We're both members of the gun community. Any of us who are handling guns, if we handle them in an unsafe manner and kill someone as a result, that's also involuntary manslaughter. It's the same rules for everybody. And by the way, one thing I hear all the time on the internet is, well, you know, he's an actor. It was a set, you know, so the same rules don't apply. No, folks, there's no actor exception to the involuntary manslaughter statute. If you're an actor, you don't get a freebie reckless homicide. Union rules or set rules or Hollywood rules don't trump criminal law.
Yeah.
You're subject to the same criminal law as everybody else.
That's a very good point as well. And I've seen that argument made quite a bit as it relates to, well, he didn't really know what he was doing. There should be. No. That really, as you said, there aren't any freebies, which this is what I thought was interesting too. When I was speaking with our friend of no relation to Alec Baldwin, Adam Baldwin, who is also an actor, he had brought up the possibility of maybe, which I know does not in any way absolve Baldwin of any kind of liability and culpability and responsibility where it relates to he was the one handling the firearm. But he did bring up how the production crew, how weapons were handled, and maybe that whole system had been altered because of coronavirus protocol. And I saw this, actually, this is a Deadline Hollywood piece now, and they were discussing whether or not this actually did, in fact, maybe perhaps impact at what point firearms were brought out, how they were brought out, how the live training and the live fire got mixed with, you know, the blanks and the blank loading area. What are your thoughts on that? And is there, I would imagine there has to be some kind of standard operating procedure on film sets to make sure that they prevent this happen, just to get them insured.
Sure. Well, this was clearly an aberrant event, right? In my opinion, this is not a Hollywood problem. This is a rust set problem and an Alec Baldwin problem. Hollywood handles guns all the time. Accidental, unintentional, negligent shootings of people on set almost never happens. If it happens once every decade, we're shocked at the event. So Hollywood actually has a very good track record for the safe handling of firearms. So something went badly off the rails here. And there may well be other people on the set who are going to bear their own share of liability here, either negligent liability in a civil suit or criminal liability and go to prison. That's possible, but it does nothing to diminish the ultimate responsibility of the person who decided to press the trigger.
Yeah, that's it.
Without, of course, clearing the gun.
Which, talking with our friend Andrew Branca, who is a self-defense attorney, he knows this all too well, knows these sets. And that's a very good point that I had not thought of. We really don't hear about this. I think I know that there have been instances, but they're a tiny handful considering the long, decades-long history of making films and how many films are made. Hollywood does, even though they do continually kind of, I would think, argue against 2A rights, they do have a good safety record for the most part. And so that really underscores how this was limited to this set, which I'm wondering if obviously, you know, you're talking about involuntary manslaughter. And there's going to be criminal charges. Obviously I can't imagine there not being a civil suit, but in terms of negligence too, I've seen a lot of directors now say, oh, we want to ban, and who was it? Juliana Moore was one out there promoting this petition where they were, Juliana Moore was saying, oh, we want to make sure that we remove firearms from the sets of all films. Well, apparently the word on the street is that somebody like Scorsese, Martin Scorsese, opposes this, so it's not going to go anywhere. And apparently the citation, Andrew, was exactly what you were saying. Hollywood has a good track record in dealing with firearms. So I would imagine there's negligence charges that are going to go along with this, because this guy not only manslaughter, but he ran the whole set.
Oh, there's certainly going to be civil lawsuits over this. That's a no-brainer. I actually don't know if there will be criminal charges. I mean, there's a basis for criminal charges here. But whether or not charges are brought are in the discretion of whoever the local prosecutor is in the Santa Fe area. And they can choose to bring charges or to not bring charges. It's their call. And in high-profile cases like this, often the charging decision becomes as much political as legal. I have no doubt if Alec Baldwin is charged with involuntary manslaughter and put in front of a jury, I mean, the prospects of him getting convicted on that charge are overwhelming. But whether they'll make the political decision to put him in front of a jury is completely unpredictable, because it's up to that local prosecutor.
Yeah, up to that local prosecutor. Talking with Andrew Branca about this case. One of the things I find incredibly unfair, and again, I know this does not change at all whatsoever the responsibility or absolve Baldwin of the responsibility of what took place, is there's a lot of, I think, an unequal amount of heat that is being focused on the armorer. What I understand that they had union workers that they walked off set apparently like the day that this happened, and they had brought in someone who as a replacement, which again has no impact on, you know, the responsibility of what happened. And it seems to me that there is a definitive push to saddle this one person with the entirety of the blame. And some of the approaches to this, I really find objectionable. But I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yes. First of all this trouble that was happening on the set and the prior safety violations and breaches and concerns and all of this, frankly, that only makes Alec Baldwin's failure to check the gun more egregious, because he was aware that this stuff was going on. So there was a higher than normal risk. If he had a super competent armorer who'd done it for decades, never had a safety issue before ever, especially on the set, maybe you could forgive him for taking the chance of not checking the gun, maybe. But when you know you're having safety problems on set, to not check the gun under those circumstances is really egregious. The other thing I would say is I'm speculating, of course, but it's based on my personal experience. It's pretty obvious to me that the Baldwins or someone acting on their behalf has retained a crisis management firm to, you know, misdirect attention away from Baldwin by whatever means is necessary. And of course, the traditional method of doing that is finding a scapegoat, is finding someone else to take the heat rather than your client. And that's what they're doing with this armorer. Now, she may well bear some responsibility here. I don't know. But whatever she might have done, again, would have caused no harm, but for the fact that Alec Baldwin failed to make sure the gun didn't have ammo before he pointed it at Ms. Hutchins and pressed that trigger.
Just such an unfortunate story, one that could have been prevented. Maybe now, Andrew, more people will listen when we discuss firearm safety and responsibility of handling. maybe I hope so, because that's, I mean, the reason that we talk about it is not to be petty. It's because of to save lives. That's ultimately what it is. Andrew Branca, we would love to have you back. Lawofselfdefense.com. You should need to go and read his analysis of this case. We will definitely have you back. We're not going to wait as long as we did before. Thank you so much. So good to see you again.
Thank you, Dana.
Of course. You too. We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up the second hour of our broadcast. And